So tonight it is my pleasure to introduce Anne. Go ahead, Anne.
I'm Anne and I'm an addict. And you know, it was nice to be asked last minute to speak, but I think it's because I don't know how to shut up. You know what? It was one thing when I first came into recovery, I thought, what a great idea. I'll be able to talk. And then I couldn't. You know, I was too afraid to open my mouth, though I did do a reading the first time. But I was always grateful. This sounds so silly, but I was always grateful at that first meeting when it was over. You see, it was a very small, tiny parking lot. And I was so jammed in there, and I was so afraid to back out. And somebody came and directed me, and I thought, oh, they know I'm a bad driver, but thank you. And maybe I'm not any worse than anybody else, but I was just sure that everyone was staring at me, just like they had stared at me in the meeting. Like, did I know them from active addiction? And no, we just all look alike. And I mean, I used with everybody, so maybe they did know. I don't know. No, they didn't. They were just trying to check out who the new person was. But, you know, I'm always, the one thing that I love to talk about, because it made so much sense to me the first time I ever heard it, and that is that the disease of addiction is a disease of self-loathing. And I truly believe this to my honest core, because the first time I really heard that, it became important to me to start looking at how much I hate myself. And to this day, when I hear new people say, well, I don't hate myself, I say, oh, really? Then why did you poison yourself on a daily or near daily basis? And, you know, it's even I just heard recently where they used to say, you know, maybe a shot of alcohol a day was healthy. Now the amount of healthy drinking even is zero. And that makes sense since it kills tissue when, you know, you put it on your skin to kill the germs. Well, it also kills the tissue if it's on there for too long, you know. But, you know, and I was, and so I think so much of it is from trauma. And the trauma that I went through so early for me was that, you know what, I didn't know it, but I couldn't hear. And my mother noticed that my younger sister was starting to learn faster than me. And when that happened, she took me to a doctor, and I found out that in that era, because just last week I turned 74, so I'm old. But anyway, so I found out in that era what is normal. It was normal to tell parents that your child's probably mentally retarded. And, you know, even though today I would say, you know, developmentally disabled, you know, those were the words that were said to me. And after all, that younger sister had already heard. When I was born, they had to put a bonnet on my head to make sure everybody knew I was a girl because I had no hair. And about my sister was so pretty when she was born. So all I ever heard was I'm ugly and I'm stupid, which did not help any on going to school. Because by the time I hit school, you know, I started being an excellent student. I was going to show them. They'd already done some surgeries on my ear, and I could hear fairly well at that point. And so I didn't have those problems anymore, though it was in the records that I could sit anywhere in a class, I guess, because I was hard of hearing. But you know what? Also, the other thing that hit me, so I was a really good student, but then I started finding out that I was born the wrong gender. Gads, I went to the Catholic Church, and I wanted to be like that when I grew up. I wanted to be like that priest he wore some beautiful vestments. And then I was told, oh, no. Girls aren't allowed to do that. What? No. We were always, you know, it was always heard girls were first, except for on the processions with the church people. The boys were first and the girls were last. We couldn't be priests. We couldn't be anything good. And when it came time to graduate from high school, and I was at the top, one of the kids at the top of my class, and I was getting ready to put in all my applications for college, and I was told, oh, no, the money's for the boys, not the girls. We can't, you know, you're going to have to find somebody to take care of you, which I find to be absolutely hilarious because I've been married twice, had several different relationships as a young person, and I was the fully self-supporting one. So I never quite understood that whole concept, you know. So I was told right away I was just the wrong gender. And then, you know, being raised Catholic and then, oh, I'm going to marry this guy. Oh, it's a foreign country. Oh, how romantic. I'm going to go off and be a part of his culture. And not knowing really what that meant, since he was from Saudi Arabia. So thank goodness I didn't make it there, because as a woman at that time, women weren't even allowed to drive, you know. But, and this has, I realized that people of all cultures are parts of domestic abuse, but I got to have it done to me all the time. So when I say there was trauma, oh yeah, well, before that it was, you know, daddy discovered my body, and then my husband said I wasn't allowed to say no because I was wife. You know, I'd better learn my place. And thank goodness I was able to leave that fairly young. And you know, the good part about that, or I thought, was, well, watch me party now, you know, because alcohol is not allowed in Islam, and so I was gonna drink. But I wasn't going to do drugs, which, by the way, when I finally read the basic text and found out alcohol was a drug, I went, phew, I'd finally come to that decision myself, you know. But so now I can't drink. He could, but you know, so I made up for lost time, and I started doing as much as I could of just about everything I could, except for having been that kid who was in the hospital as a little kid. Shots weren't my thing, so the idea of a needle just didn't do it. Hey, but I could snort and I could pop pills and I could smoke and I could, you know, I could do everything else, but though I don't think I actually used, you know, the ones from the other end, you know. But you never know when things were going on. But what happened was, is that, you know what? I really did hate myself, because somewhere in there, like many people who go through domestic violence, I thought maybe, just maybe, he was right. Maybe I did deserve it. After all, I never had anybody come to save me. That belly button family of mine, those brothers of mine, everybody else would talk about brothers coming to help them. They never helped me. But you know what? No matter what happened was, eventually, when I hit 41, I'm just going to start going this into recovery, because when I hit 41 and I was a mother of a single child who was almost 18, and she needed recovery, I found an employee assistance treatment program through my employee assistance program. And so I started doing recovery, and I found NA. And like I said, it said right in our readings, alcohol is a drug. And I went, I knew it, you know, and I could start working with those things. And somewhere along the line, with those things that I felt, you know, that men would never help me. Suddenly, I was at a meeting once, and there was something in the parking lot where these guys just made me nervous like crazy. And I was scared, just absolutely petrified. And I'd already gotten just a little bit of help for PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, you know. So anyway, so when I get nervous, I get really nervous. And but I went through some help with that, but I was still nervous, and I was still not really going through too much of that help yet. But I raised my hand in the meeting and said I was scared. And more than one man said, "Where is he? We'll take care of him. Where are they?" You know, and it was like, for the first time, I could feel that maybe somebody did care about me, but it was in an A meeting, you know. And I had to learn these things. And it wasn't until a little while later that I had somebody else in a meeting, or not in a meeting, I was at a convention. And it was outside a convention in San Francisco. And there was this guy drunk out of his mind with a fanny pack around the front, but no, his pants were around his ankles. And he was this big, tall guy swinging his arms, drunk and high out of his mind. And the men were afraid. But the youngest guy there said, "Hey, dude, pull your pants up. Somebody's going to call the police." You know, and I thought, God, he stepped in for me. So what I found out is that, you know, I don't really have all those horrid feelings towards men, though somewhere in active addiction. Going to being a Las Vegas weekend voyeur, and the more I charged, the better they thought I was. So that kind of worked out well, except it made me hate myself more, which made me have to keep using more. And I didn't do it like so many people do, to just get the money for drugs. But what it made me, it did something really weird. But you know, I'm saying all that because, you know, I have this granddaughter in my life who's 30 years old, and she's She's getting married in May. So she's this full grown-up woman. And my daughter is not in my life anymore because you know what? She's very, very ill. When Rob Reiner died, him and his wife were killed by their child. It really hit me. It hit me hard because I had had a therapist tell me that no matter what, I was never to have my daughter ever take care of me because she would probably kill me because of her mental illness is so severe. And I thought I had so many people at first that said, well, if it was my child, I wouldn't do that, But my daughter used to say to me all the time, maybe because of active addiction, or maybe because I hadn't found those kind guys in NA yet, Mom, you hate men. My granddaughter was just here last week for my birthday. And they were all riding back from a birthday dinner, and I've got a car full of people. And she goes, oh, Grandma, you hate men. I said, no, I don't. She said, oh, yes, you do. And I thought, but she sounded just like my daughter. And it hit me one more time, that pain. But I can't say anything more than that because, first of all, she doesn't really understand recovery. And to tell you the truth, I think she was repeating her mother's words to me. And you know what? May she someday discover all she's had a mother that she's really been abandoned by, because she can't have her mother in her life either. And for her mother abandoned her. So you know what? Maybe if I bring up those things too much, it might be like narny, narny, narny. And I can't do that. So you know what? I just have to hold it in, and there I will be in California for her wedding in May. And I hope that she finds enough love from somewhere and enough therapy also to get some of the healing that I've gotten in NA. Because in NA, I've had to learn to be honest with the people that are in recovery, one of which is I love going to live meetings. And for me, that means I don't give a shit anymore. I'm going to be honest. I'm an atheist, damn it. And I will say it kindly, I'm not a theist. For those that somehow can't get the A in front of the word without thinking something horrid, So what I do is I get honest with people there. And if I can't do it with this granddaughter who's only in my life every once in a while, we're on the phone rarely, But you know what? For people I sponsor, they need to know this because I've gone through the prejudice of being the one who didn't believe. Well, at first I had to fake it. Oh, I tried really hard, but how are you supposed to do something if I'd already decided that I was an atheist at a rather young age? The one that I hated it when the, or actually kind of loved it when the Jehovah's Witnesses would come to my door. I mean, why? Because I'd tell them how they were wrong. I would talk to them. Of course, I was on speed, so I could really talk a lot. And I did not mind telling them why they were wrong. And I would even to others, I would quote scripture at them. I don't know the words. I made it all up. Anyway, so I was faking it pretty good then doing that. But today I can be honest. And I recently took a fairly new sponsee. And before I say yes, I will sponsor someone, and I'm pretty sure that they are religious, I say, I let them know I am not. And this one said, why are you telling me this? What difference does it make? And I thought, finally, finally, is there a young group of people out there that no longer see it? Because you see, what I found is by going to meetings and being honest when I share, especially when a meeting gets too damned religious, that you know what? Someone else can see atheists can get recovery too. We don't have to be separate from, sure, I'm going to use my own language in the steps, and I object to the spiritual. The word spiritual doesn't bother me because I do that from l'esprit de corps or something along that line. And spirituality to me is my sense of awe. Yeah, I feel that too. I just don't think it's supernatural. But I don't know. If there were proof out there for the first time in our entire history, hey, maybe I'd listen to it, But in the meantime, I can still work the steps and look at them at a whole different viewpoint and work them my way and translate it my way, which I started doing that early, but I sort of lied to that first sponsor I had. I'm searching, I'm looking. Where now, when I was told that I had, well, you don't have to believe in a God, you just have to find a power that's greater than yourself. And I think, well, yes, other people is what I use. However, I don't pray to other people, and I don't necessarily do other people's will, just wanting to do their will and not mine. So I say my higher power is my highest power. It is mine. One, I needed to work steps to find out who I was, to be able to discover those things that are so important. How do I do this? And how can I talk through it? I read somewhere that people who pray and people who talk to themselves when the brain is getting different scans done happens in the exact same part of the brain. So I talk to myself. Yes, nothing new. Anyway, so I can, work through my problems. And even more importantly, I can call people when I need help. I had to reach out to those people, just like people, reached out to me. And I needed to do that so much. I always say when people think it's, I'm okay, addiction never hurt me. I'm somebody that can say that I have not as of yet relapsed in NA. However, I did almost die of the disease of addiction when I had 8 years clean. By the way, I'm 32 now, but whatever. But when I had 8 years clean, I was in a meeting and suddenly my head hurt worse than it had ever hurt in my whole entire life. Goodness, there was a hospital almost directly across the street. In the meeting, there was a nurse and somebody in law enforcement that was required to go to recovery. Anyway, the nurse kept trying to get me to, maybe I should go get some help. But it was the cop that went, "You will go to the ER now." And I was like, "Yes, sir." And I did. I had three cranial aneurysms. They did not operate on the bleeding one first. They operated on the biggest one because there was so much blood on my brain. But they eventually, before letting me out, did all three, which means that I got the help I needed. And probably why I stopped doing cocaine in active addiction, because it was giving me headaches. And I found out cocaine is one of the major reasons, though it may be genetic as well for bleeds like that. And you know what? What I got now was people who said, "Anne, do you need a ride to a meeting?" They helped me, where I had been giving people rides all along before that. So now I can give people rides and I can help others that also get sick. So if you think it never hurt you and you're still kind of new, you know what? You don't know that. You don't know all the harm you may have done your body. And in my case, I'm just old now, so I'm allowed to have pains. But you know what? Those pains at first were a shock because I had covered them up for so many years of active addiction. Anyway, I'm just going to close this quick because I know I'm rambling because I was caught off guard to share. So I didn't even write a little anything that I was going to say. So I hope you got something out of what I said. Thank you.